On March 19, we rejoice to honor Saint Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We rejoice every year. In other years, this feast day usually pops in or appears suddenly in the middle of Lent and gives us an opportunity to recall that Joseph has been with us all along, but we just didn't notice him. He's always seems to be hiding in the background. And so on the Feast of Saint Joseph, we remember, oh my goodness, this man, he's quite an important figure. He's quite a great man. And we celebrate him. We have a big statue of him there outside, as if he's welcoming us into the chapel. And then once we come inside, and then we don't think of him anymore. Saint Joseph, protector of the unwed. So that's how it's been most years. Joseph, like a background figure, suddenly gets a moment in the spotlight. But this year is not like other years. This is the year of Saint Joseph, called by Pope Francis. So Joseph is not hidden in the background. He's quite prominent this year. In fact, this year of St. Joseph, as you know, it came unexpectedly, just as we were preparing for the 500th anniversary of Christianity in the Philippines. The Pope declares this year of St. Joseph, and we say, oh, okay, we have a jubilee year with Joseph as our model. And this initiative of the Pope has been taken very wholeheartedly, at least here in the Philippines. The bishops have said, yes, let's look to Joseph. In fact, we're preparing for a consecration of the Philippines to St. Joseph on May 1st, the next liturgical feast in honor of St. Joseph. And we are too, in Anuwa, we're preparing for a consecration on May 1st. Many people are making a consecration to St. Joseph today, maybe some of you, because this is the biggest feast day of Joseph in the year. But the bishop, rightly, in order to highlight the presence and the role of St. Joseph, told us every single church and every single chapel in this diocese has to have an image of St. Joseph. So that's why maybe we would have done it anyway, but we put this image of St. Joseph, protector of the Anuwa, right here in the sanctuary. Now he has flowers and plants and something to show that we are really honoring our spiritual father today and this year. So now Joseph is not in the background anymore. It seems like he's everywhere. Every church you go to, every document, everyone who's talking about the life of the church this year, there's Joseph everywhere. And as you know, we reprinted our holy cards in honor of St. Joseph. There's thousands of them and they're spilling all over. So Joseph is everywhere this year and we rejoice to be able to honor him. As if to make it even more clear that this is a special year, the Pope, a couple of weeks after he announced the year of St. Joseph, announced a year in honor of the Holy Family, the Amoris Laetitia family year, which officially starts today. I don't know if anyone's heard of this. It's hard to keep track of all these years. Now we have Jubilee year, St. Joseph year, now we have Amoris Laetitia family year, starts today, and it extends up until 2022 and the celebration of the World Meeting of Families. So the Pope is trying to promote the Christian understanding of marriage and family life as the answer to so many of the world's problems. You can't evangelize the world without Christian family, marriage and family. And the model is the Holy Family, Joseph, Mary, Jesus. By the way, the reason I'm wearing this particular vestment is in honor of the World Meeting of Families. When the World Meeting of Families took place here in the Philippines, I don't remember what year that was, about 10 years ago. World Meeting of Families was sponsored here in Manila, and all the priests who concelebrated at the closing mass were given this chasuble. And so we've had it here in the sacristy, and I never use it. I said, well, today's Feast of St. Joseph. It's the beginning of a year in honor of the Holy Family. and it's directed toward another world meeting of families. So that's why I chose this vestment today. So we have plenty to focus on. In fact, if in other years we started the Feast of St. Joseph with the idea, well, now what are we going to say, or how can we highlight this man who's hidden and silent? That's not the problem this year. This year, there's more than enough to say. There's more than enough to highlight. In fact, many of us are following this book on consecration to St. Joseph. So we've got 300 pages of insights into St. Joseph. What do we do? Well, I'm going to just pick out one thing, and I'm getting this mostly from the author of this book, Father Calloway. Father Calloway has a section in the book on the experience of St. Joseph when he found out about the pregnancy of Mary. That's the gospel I just read. And this is the central event in what we know as the story of Joseph, the Annunciation to St. Joseph, or the test put to St. Joseph. Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. He's a righteous man. It says here, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. So he makes this decision, and that's when the angel comes to him in a dream and says, nope, the right thing to do here is not to be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. So we know this is, I mean, if you know anything about Joseph, you know this. This is the one thing we know, is that Joseph is the husband of Mary, and he welcomed her into his home after she was already pregnant by the Holy Spirit. What Father Calloway brings up here is different interpretations of why Joseph was not going to accept Mary. If you read this section, you might know, remember what he says here. He said there are three different interpretations for why Joseph was not going to take Mary into his home. The first one is the suspicion. He calls it the suspicion theory. In other words, that Joseph thought that Mary had been unfaithful, or maybe had been forced, someone had forced himself on her, and she was pregnant, and that was a violation, and it couldn't be accepted into his home. So he separated himself from her because he suspected her. Now, Father Calloway rejects that quite strongly, although some saints have held that, but he says that's not really it doesn't seem like the action of a just man or a righteous man. The second theory, I can't remember what he calls it, but it has something to do with the bewilderment of Joseph. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do, so he just backed off. The third theory, and this is the one that Father Calloway promotes very strongly, is the reverence theory. That Joseph, once he found out Mary was pregnant, recognized the action of God in her. He didn't suspect any wrongdoing. He sensed that God was doing something extraordinary, and he himself felt unworthy to be part of this. And so out of reverence for the mystery, he stepped back. Something like, this is how the fathers of the church say it, something like when Peter saw the miraculous catch of fish, Jesus is kind of invading into his life, and he has this miraculous catch, and Peter says, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Like Peter's response is, "This is too holy for me. I'm not worthy to be in the presence of something so awesome." So that was a comparison that the fathers of the church made. So Joseph saying, "Well, this is bigger than I can. I'm not worthy to be the husband of such a precious treasure, or the guardian of such a precious treasure, Mary and Jesus." Now, one of the things that makes this interpretation difficult is the term divorce. In this translation, it says, he decided to divorce her quietly. I don't know the Greek word, but Father Calloway says that the word in Greek, which is translated here as divorce, can be translated in lots of different ways. And he thinks that divorce is not a good translation. The word means something like separate, make a distance, set free, divorce. So it's kind of a broad term where in our minds, especially in modern times where divorce has taken over most of the world, in our minds, the word divorce is a very specific thing, legal end of a marriage, of a legal contract. And that, he said, is too narrow a definition for what is said in the Greek. So he promotes that we interpret the Greek word to mean separate from. Joseph decided to separate himself from her quietly, make a distance from her privately, so as to not expose her to shame. This is something to ponder, because how would what sounds to us like kicking Mary out not expose her to shame? Father Calloway is suggesting maybe Joseph was saying he's the one who would leave. He's the one who would exit from the scene. Mary would remain, and it would look like he's the one who abandoned her. If anyone's shameful, it's the husband who abandons his pregnant wife. So that, I never thought of this, and I don't know if this is really true, but it's something to think of. It makes Joseph a much more heroic figure, if that's what his attitude was, to say, in order to make it clear that Mary is in the right, I'm the one who will disappear, and it will look like her husband, who is the father of her child, abandoned her. So no shame to Mary, and the shame goes on Joseph. Now, like I said, we don't know if that's what happened, but it's another way of seeing Joseph, and it's a way of highlighting his righteousness. The scripture is very clear. It says he was a righteous man or a just man. He did what was right. He did what was righteous before the angel came, and he certainly did what was righteous after the angel came and enlightened him about what to do. But either way, we know Joseph is a righteous man. But it's hard for us to understand what a righteous man would do in such a dilemma. Well, maybe he would sacrifice himself for the sake of his wife. They were considered husband and wife, even though that was still the betrothal stage, and they were not living together. They belonged to each other already, according to the Jewish tradition. Anyway, what we're doing here is we're reflecting on the greatness of Joseph and his willingness to sacrifice himself for the sake of his wife and her son. What resolves the issue, and of course this is the very center of the whole thing, is the message of the angel. Do not be afraid to take Mary. Don't let your reverence for her interfere with God's plan for her. Don't be afraid to take Mary into your home, your wife into your home. It is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived. So she's going to bear a son, and you are going to name him Jesus because you are the father. You're going to take this role fully. And Joseph's role as father is what we're reflecting on this year, especially Pope Francis's beautiful apostolic letter, Patris Corde, with the heart of a father, is all about this, Joseph as a father, Joseph's role as father. And the Pope proposes him to us as a spiritual father. This is also the premise of this book. The wonders of our spiritual father. And this is what we celebrate today. Yes, Joseph is the spouse, husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yes, he's head of the Holy Family. He is the one who raised Jesus. He had the role fully, the role of father of Jesus. But he's also our spiritual father. He is our protector, our guardian, patron of the universal church. Pope Francis deliberately declared this year of St. Joseph on the anniversary, the 150th anniversary of the declaration of St. Joseph as the patron of the universal church. So what we're doing here is we're deepening our relationship with Joseph, we're entrusting ourselves more fully to Joseph, We're recognizing the unique and powerful positions he has in the church and in our own spiritual journeys. And so we celebrate him and we ask him to watch over us, to guard us, to lead us, to be our protector, just as he was protector of the Holy Family.